Jammers.
Wait, what's the show?
Jammers,
the Selfish Health Podcast.
Jammers.
Holy shit, I'm Wendy Starling.
Hello.
I'm Megan Rice.
And.
Hey.
Stephen Penta.
And real stoked to be here.
Should we try to actually bring in guests and help people?
Ooh.
I mean, like, it's Selfish Health.
Jammers.
We made up a term. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
This is Amy.
Hello.
My name is Megan.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fabulous. I have a bruise the size of my hand on my thigh, on the back of my thigh.
Amy damaged herself helping us
into
organize.
It.
And I'm returning to the scene of the crime.
I thought it was going to be a way cooler story.
But I'm returning to the scene of the crime because it happened here in this apartment.
That's how you heal wounds. Yeah. We learned that when we talked to Kate Wolf. You have to go back to the scene of...
I don't think it works for physical wounds. I think it's more like an emotional thing. I don't think if you break your arm, if you go back to the place you broke your arm, it will be healed.
Well, you can write a note, you know, have a little fire.
That's been my excuse for going back to the same bar every night. I just stand. They're like, I thought this is for another injury. This is for something that showed up on my elbow. I assume it was here. I just have to stand in this bathroom until it heals.
Yeah. Yes. It might be a while.
I got to sage it out.
Oh, yeah. Sage is for spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do sage when you're... Let's do the... hey, welcome to Jammers, huh?
Hey.
Hi.
I'm Wendy Starling.
Oh, I'm Megan Rice. Sorry, I've been in Vegas for 3 days. I forgot my name for a second.
You're like, hopefully I'm still... And who's...
I'm here.
What is your name?
Stephen Penta.
Professionalism.
Usually he's way more excited. I don't know what's going on with him. Usually he's really the life of the party for the podcast.
They call me the life of the party.
You can't even say that fun. You can't even lie fun.
Well, this is an interesting thing. I hung out with Stephen. I've been like laying off drinking and booze. I would tell you, I hung out with Stephen when I was sober. During a sold out glamour pose and at the boxing match, and we were sitting outside, people are drinking and having fun. And I just had a hamburger and I was just like, I don't even want to finish this. And then Steve and I just sat out there and it was like, oh, I'm coming to the dark side. I'm just like mad. And I'm like, this sucks. Where are the Oreos?
It doesn't have to be that. I mean, you could have things.
I think
not
it does.
Suck.
It does. I think not. It does.
I know I think Megan thinks it does, but it doesn't have to be.
No, Stephen, just any listener who listens to you, they're like, oh, I'm never going to quit drinking.
I know. You don't have the bonus. I was popping caffeine pills. Does that count as...
I love... Wendy's just going to get addicted to like weird trucker pills.
I was shoving ephedra in my pussy, but I didn't have any beer.
It's legal. I get it at the bodega. It's totally fine.
Right. They sell it at GNC. It's got to be legal.
It's got sugar. Lots of sugar.
Ephedra?
Sure.
No, that's speed. It's the black diamond pills from Mexico. Amy, I'm going to help you heal that bruise.
Thank you.
With my mind.
So Amy Neiman is a professional organizer and...
Organizing coach and consultant.
Yes.
We need you desperately. So that's what we're working on this week. And Amy recently, So
Christina and I have been fighting about organizing our apartment.
Is that what you've been fighting about?
We've been fighting about a couple of things, but organizing the apartment was a big one.
Yeah.
But that's the thing we could do something about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only thing we could fix.
So I've been friends with Amy for years. We both used to work in music. Like, I know that she is the opposite side of the brain that I use.
She used to work in music? What'd you do in music?
I worked at record labels in the art department pretty much since 1999.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
At all different record labels.
So now, were you cleaning up his mess at work then?
Not much larger messes than I would be capable of making. Like, Amy was the one that would clean up the mess for an entire department of like, Rihanna's music video's fucked up. Everything's fucked up.
I just deal with the payment part on that.
Yeah.
Oh, the payment part.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point did you become like super OCD?
I was 7.
Yes.
birth.
OCD for life.
Literally, I had to start... studying for school, and I really got into the space. Like, in my brain, I can see meet in my room right now when I was seven. Like, I had to start studying for school. And if the physical clutter was around me, I couldn't focus. And so I had to remove the physical clutter in order to remove the mental clutter so then I could focus on things. So my mom would be like, oh, what test are you not studying for? Your room is so nice. It became that kind of thing. Because apparently I was really messy when I was younger.
See, now that might be my problem because I work my desk. I live in a bedroom. I have roommates. What I'm using for a desk right now is a pile of clothes.
I was going to say, tell her about that's also what she's using is her closet.
Right. And as a stepladder to nail curtains to the wall. I'm just using piles of clothes. Is that efficient?
Not on the floor. At least in college, I had like a exercise bike that I was supposed to ride or pretended to ride. And that was really what caught all my clothes or I used as a stepladder or things like that. So,
Wendy, just buy an exercise bike and then problem solve.
Yeah.
And then when you're supposed to do it, pretend and then you're good.
That's what I need. I just sleep on the bike, turn on the side. That's actually your futon. When Megan came over, she slept. It was a pile of clothes, and I just put one sheet over it.
Yeah. She's like, this bed's so lumpy.
It's a water bed.
Yeah. And I would just, it's a really firm water bed.
Right. And I just would spritz her with a spray bottle at night. So she would think, is this how water beds work?
Oh, yeah. Because apparently I'd be like, the whole time I was like, there is a leak in this water bed. Obviously, it must be a water bed. I'm being wet every night. I just thought I was peeing the bed every single night I was in New York.
When I was in college, I was a sophomore and I hung out with seniors in the Circle apartments, actually.
Fucking cool, bro. Did you guys do body shots?
It's pretty cool.
I wasn't that kind of girl yet. So literally.
I saved the body shots for my 30s. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. And the person who I used to sleep over in his room had a water bed. So when they were partying out and I was tired, I went, but I had to be in a water bed. And I was like, I'm a little drunk.
When did you go to college?
In like 1974? Water beds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was like the 190s water bed.
It was, I remember a lot from that sophomore year of Dracar because it, you know, spilled all over me and everything I owned, what I was wearing. And then I felt like a walking billboard for it. And also the water bed.
Yeah, water beds. My sister, I remember when we were growing up, my sister's had a waterbed, my little sister. And it was during the big like earthquake in 1992, during the Northridge quake. Mm-hmm. And then we were in Ontario, California, which is very close. And we all thought we were going to, I thought it was pretty cool. We all, each kid had like a friend sleeping over. And my sister's waterbed was super up high. And she was like this tiny little 5-year-old. She thought we walked in, we were all standing in our doorways yelling while everything was shaking and falling down. And my sister and her friend were just like, being thrown out of the bed by the waterbed. And then they took it out right after the earthquake. But it was real fucking funny to watch her.
Earthquakes, definitely. I lived in LA for 8 years, actually. And I had a trundle bed. And the top part was not very secure. So I remember one night when there was a earthquake, actually. And my bed, I felt like I was on a ship. Because it just kept moving and moving and moving. I'm like, okay, it's time for a new bed.
How old were you when you were in your second waterbed? This is a, hold on. Yeah, like
it's a trundle bed.
Oh, a trundle bed.
Trundle bed's different.
Yeah, it has the bed that's underneath that you can pick up.
Yes.
So it's like two.
It's like expandable.
I need to get one of those.
Little girls had them. Like, I don't think a boy's ever had a trundle bed. It's like a little girl thing, and there's always,
Christina's family used to have one. Like, that's the bed that we have to crash on when we stay for Christmas and stuff.
Does one of you sleep on the trundle bed and one on the regular bed?
No, you pull out the trundle bed, so then it becomes like a queen size bed.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So then you just have to bang on this like awkward, rickety, half collapsible.
Or you could not bang for 3 days while visiting family.
You could.
You could also fuck on the floor.
Wait, hold on. Steven was nervous to have sex with a bunch of adult friends at a lake house.
Right.
But he's like willing to fuck on a trundle bed while visiting Christina's family.
Well, like whatever.
Those people
gone.
Would actually want to listen in.
Oh.
Different audience.
Yeah, no, but the trundle bed's nicer because I can take Christina's dolls from childhood and shove it under her hips.
Yeah. Christina actually keeps, for the longest time, there was a poster of Top Gun Tom Cruise on the ceiling.
On the ceiling?
On the ceiling, right above her bed, like pure jerk-off material.
That's real creepy. Yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
It was really special.
I mean, I had pictures of JTT all over my walls, but not like directly over my bed so I could, I had to roll over on my side to jerk off when I was 8.
No, it was clearly like right above where she would have had her head every day.
Oh my God.
That's super creepy.
Yeah. So you guys, so gross. That's a gross. but you gross. Can fuck on the ground. You don't have to fuck on a bed.
You don't actually have to put the trundle bed up too. It can be two single beds and you can stay at bomb on the floor.
I don't really think we need to get into the logistics of trundle beds.
Oh, you're
trundle
nervous. Beds. Trumble.
He's nervous. He's like, oh,
trundle beds, water beds, yeah, they're all dead now.
Well, when I'm
We've
fucking
them
on
all
it,
away.
When I'm fucking on it, it's a trundle bed. You know what I mean?
Hey.
Oh, hey.
So speaking of things that should be thrown away.
Yeah, you threw away a bunch of Steven's shit, right?
So, Amy, yeah. So we pretty much... So we had a meeting with Amy. We brought her in. We took her through the apartment. It was kind of like, okay, these are our problem areas. Where do we start? And we have a storage loft. It's a weird New York thing. It's like this attic kind of, and it just got out of hand with gears.
I didn't even know shit. That was up there.
Yeah.
So what they're describing is to listeners. So they've got the apartment. It's a really cool like split level, but then there's this tiny little staircase. And I thought it was just like, to put like a bag on.
It looks
on.
Like a weird magic leprechaun staircase.
Oh, it for sure looks like it's going to The Lost Boys. That's a very old reference and none of our listeners are going to get it, but it's the movie with Kiefer Sutherland where the vampires live in the attic.
Yes.
That's what it looks like. You could...
Hold on. Can we get back to Wendy's description of Lost Boys? It's the movie with Kiefer Sutherland where the vampires live in the attic.
That's it.
It's pretty good.
Pretty accurate.
But like there was,
there's a little bit more to it.
You're right. There's more subtext.
Like the most boring movie of the 80s. Just no. Like Kiefer Sutherland shows up. He walks up some stairs. Then it's him and a bunch of they're just hanging out in an attic for a while.
Well, and that's the reason I describe it. I think I've told you this, Megan. My parents had me really young. My mom was like 20. My dad was like 23. When we moved into a new house when I was six. And my bedroom had the door in my closet was the door, the hatch to the attic.
Oh, yeah.
And then parallel to that was the door leaving to the hallway. And my parents, so I was six. My mom was 26 and my dad's 29. Okay. They think they're real funny, cool people. And I'm sure they were heavily drinking. Lost Boys was on TV. So we watched it together. They made me watch it. And then they were like afterwards, and I was like, oh my God, I was so scared. And they're like, be careful tonight. The door to the attic's in your closet in a brand new house. Okay. And I was like,
oh, that's so funny. Your parents were they were stoned out of their minds. They went to bed like,
they didn't go
fuck
to bed.
Fuck that idiot.
Oh, they stayed awake and then said, fuck that idiot, because they told me that. And I was like, oh, okay, good night. And the way my bed was facing, my head, I was like facing away from the doors leaving. They planned it out. My mom went into my closet and my dad went out into the hallway and they timed it. So they shut the doors at the same time. And then my mom waited for probably like 10 minutes. I'm sat there just like going to sleep, trying to calm down. And then my mom starts scratching the inside of the closet door. Sort of got it. She's like,
oh my God.
Wendy. And I fucking freaked out and I had like a full blown panic attack. And then she opened the closet door and jumped at me and I screamed and cried. And then my parents like laughed and they're like, that was some gotcha. And then they're like, night.
Wendy, I think we just solved your anxiety problem.
Yeah, I think we, exactly. Wendy, this is a huge bit breakthrough.
We're a big breakthrough moment, right? I feel like we just had a big therapy breakthrough. We're like, wow, this is the root of all your anxiety.
Yeah, so that's how I described that movie. I'm like, oh, the movie where your mom jumps out of the closet and then disappears forever.
God, what the fuck did they do on Goonies night? Jesus Christ.
So that's why I described that movie that way. I made them come in and play Barbies with me though, because I was crying. I was so mad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's what that looks like. But this loft space that Steven had, we were looking at it. You could like rent that out on Airbnb.
It is legit. Like it's big enough up there that you could Airbnb it out for probably a good 70, 80 bucks a night.
More location.
Yeah. You could do 100. You could easy do 100.
Probably do 100.
And then for sure get murdered because anyone who's willing
actually,
to sleep in a loft.
That loft space, when Christina lived here with two other girls in college, they called that the boom boom room because that was like where everyone would go to bang, like in the college years.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, romantic, right?
I probably should stage this place out.
I thought you said stage. I like a real estate thing. I was like, yeah, let's stage it.
Yeah, let's stage it. I know.
We'll put a bunch of used condoms and cum up there and be like, this is the boom boom room. It's $250 a night.
What does saging a place out do to it?
It just We should Google.
I mean, nothing really. I mean, nothing really.
It gets rid of ghosts.
It really just smudges whatever is in the space out.
It gets out and
cleans it. It cleans it up.
Okay. Yeah, you could probably.
It's not a very practical answer to your question.
We could probably use some spiritual Clorox in this.
And if it doesn't get rid of ghosts, it'll get rid of the smell of the dried cum in the boom boom room. So either way.
Right.
Either way.
So anyway.
Well, it'll smell like an Italian cum, like a good, like a nice, like your mom made some gravy and put it over.
Smells like jizz and olive oil in here. I love it.
Great.
Is that garlic?
Good God.
All right. So your loft was a giant mess.
The loft was a giant mess. Tons of gear. And then all my stuff from my music years, I just stashed out there. I just didn't want to see it. So everything just got stashed up. And then Christina would just throw things up there. And it got to the point where we couldn't even get up in it to navigate what was up there.
Right. We couldn't even get up in it to get up in it.
Exactly.
Again, like a hoarder.
Okay.
No.
What's the difference?
Boom. Oh. No. Hey, no. Wait, I'm not a hoarder. Megan, I'm not a hoarder. The expert
Steven's
just
pointing
said,
very aggressively.
I'm not a hoarder.
Okay, so explain to me how that is different, how having an entire room full of trash is different from a hoarder.
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a hoarder. Hoarders is the name of a television show. So that's true. The first thing. The second thing is it's on the DSM. So there's really some sort of mental illness dealing with...
What does DSM mean? And I should know this as someone who's probably on there.
It's mental health. Okay. It's a book.
You are.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Literally
layman's
terms.
Any disorder that there is known to man in the world is in this medical journal.
Okay, cool.
That's better. So it's hoarding tendency or hoarding disorder. And there's a spectrum. So people have different spectrums. I know a lot of organizers that work with hoarding disorder or hoarding tendency population. And they also have a psychologist as well working with the client because there's some deeper level of why they're collecting things and what they're doing with it. And it's literally like the Collier brothers is actually a really good, they died in their house in their stuff. Like people didn't even know they were there because they just collected so much stuff. Like literally things were up to the walls and to the ceiling and you couldn't even move without actually jumping over something or moving around.
The Collier brothers, is this like a studied case?
Yeah.
Now, is this something but when you got into organizing, did you immediately go into the psychology part of it?
Well, no, Amy had, you were into psychology before organizing.
Yes. So I got my master's in psychology actually when I was at a record label in Los Angeles. So
oh,
I went to
interesting.
School at the
and
same time
working with her very much feels like therapy, which I appreciated.
Whole different thing. But yeah, I really wanted to work with ADHD population actually because I am ADHD myself. I was diagnosed actually when I was 28.
Okay.
In grad school.
How much for an Adderall?
I hated them. It just totally made me out of control and I'm a very controlling person and
yeah,
I don't like to be out of control.
Bad for you. Bad idea. Me too. I just start crying and shaking.
And popping Adderalls.
I like all the other stuff that people don't like, the Concerta or the Ritalin. Like, you know, there's so many different things that you can choose from.
Ooh, we'll get into drugs later.
But anyway, yeah, so I got a master's psychology, was going to work with the population and, then just, things when I was back, I moved back from Los Angeles to New York and I was still not sure what I was going to do. And had a few jobs here and there. I was in the hotel industry. It was a very interesting industry as well to go into. And then went back to records and then went into organizing, creating my own business in 2012. Which is called A Simplified Life because I love helping people simplify their lives.
That's awesome. And so when you started doing that, so now I want to go back into the,
yeah,
because this is interesting to me because the difference between like, go back into the hoarding thing. Cause mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting. Like what are the different like psychological triggers? Cause I think a lot of people save shit and they think, oh, I'm not like a hoarder because it's like a drawer of things or like you're keeping too many business cards
in
your wallet.
And then like, am I on the hoarding spectrum?
Right.
Right. I think people just don't know the difference. And so they use terminology they don't know because the television show is very popular and people tend to just go there and say, that's what I am. Hey. So
what are the different reasons that people,
there's too many different reasons. It's like, it's
okay,
literally
specific.
Thing.
Why was Steven saving all his stupid shit?
He's just a collector.
See, again,
time. No.
He just collects like, a lot of stuff.
I won't say hoarder again because I got in trouble for saying hoarder. I'll say hoarding spectrum disorder fucking whatever.
No, but if we're
that's a collector.
He's just a major collector who doesn't know what to do with stuff.
No,
so
but I think too, like I have if we want to get edible and psychological in this, like I think my grandmother was like a depression era grandmother. And she died with a house of shit that we had tons of just, it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then that all passed into my mother's house, which is the same. And like, my family has just kept shit. We're like, kind of just like blue collar, middle class, fucking whatever, where you always have an attic and you keep shit.
Well, that's
and especially, I think when you work in music or when you work in comedy and you get to a place where like, you're putting stuff out, you know, like I managed a band for what, 6-8 years. And so when you do that, you're like, well, this is all really important. You know, we really need these special edition vinyl pressings and I have a whole box of them. So this is very important and it's very valuable to me.
Right, like I'm currently wearing every badge I've ever gotten from every comedy festival. Is that hoarding?
No.
Awesome. Sweet.
So it's in the space.
What? I don't know. The hoarding thing, is that really like an offensive term to people?
To or some, yes. Okay. It's not really a hoarding. You can hoard things.
Right.
And hoarding is a word. But to describe someone as a hoarder is not. Correct.
Okay. So like when I was doing lots of drugs, I wasn't a drug addict. I was just a fun lady.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is just semantics. Right. Now we've got
so when I was, people it, being like,
if it upsets your world elsewhere, right? Like if it upsets your life, like right now you can walk in this living room, no problem whatsoever. That would not be the case if he was a hoarder-ing.
Okay. I'm just trying to like, I mean, and I'm playing devil's advocate, but also, I mean, come on. I like that though. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm just like, you know, thirsty.
I just, I hydrate differently than people. Some people drink water. I drink vodka. Here.
But I know that I'm not like a full blown whore, but I know that I keep too much shit. And that is a thing.
Right.
And it was a thing that I was fighting about with Christina.
So, I know. I think everyone keeps
too much shit.
Yeah.
We do. Because here's the thing. Our houses have gotten bigger. Unless you've always lived in New York City, your houses have gotten bigger. You have more stuff. You've accumulated more things. People are living longer to accumulate more things. And most of the time, people are accumulating things like either memories from the past, or they might need this someday. So you have a closet of things that you have no clue that you're going to need because you might need it someday. Yeah. So basically you're either living in the past or you're living in a future that you haven't created and you're missing out in the now. And life is all about the now.
Yeah. I like where this is headed.
And it was very helpful to have a third party come in and be like, this is your past and you need to throw it out.
Right.
Because I wasn't
ready
to do
it. You have to throw it out, but what is your choice to do?
Right. And that really makes you feel like a dick. And then you throw everything out.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this is like addiction.
Yeah, you have to ask the questions. You really just, like, what is the purpose of why you're keeping this? When was the last time you used it? Why do you need to keep it? And there's no good or bad answer.
Because I want to. Get out of my house.
But that's an answer, right? That's an answer. So if that was the answer, then we figure out how to put it together and how to contain it and how you can find it when you need it. So I don't want people to throw things out. People need to be in a space of what works for me and what works for my life right now. And if it's something you really want to keep, that's great. Then let's figure out how to do that and where do we want to store it. So then you can find it when you need it and then be able to move on when you can. I don't want people to throw things out if they don't want to. Like minimalizing is really awesome. I love that because I want you to find what you need when you need it. Mm-hmm. Touch it, grab it, go. Like why do you need to spend 10 minutes to find something. Yeah. Find it because as you put it where you put it, because that's where it goes. When you have to find something for an hour, like you're just wasting time.
Like your keys. I had to get a
little like things. Your ID, like stuff you actually need that you can't throw away.
Right.
I mean, do you have basic rules that you kind of live by for that you would ascribe to any person that are just like, okay, this is how you just keep things straight, sort out, you know, general rules of thumb that you go about as you organize your personal space?
I don't really have rules because then I'd have to stick to them and I can't change them around. So I find what works is what's necessary in my apartment for what I need. And I like to actually, like, every 6 months change it up and move some things around. But like, there's a home, like my batteries are always going to be in the same place, so I don't have to go looking for them. But I think that every single person is an individual, and how they keep and collect things is the same as how they live their life as a unique individual person. So I can't go around and be like, this is exactly what you need to do and it's going to work, and this is what's going to work for you. You kind of have to be with the person to find out how they are. Are they a visual person? Do they not want to see anything and they want it totally minimalistic but still want to find things? So it's kind of like the psychology of it really works because it's like a puzzle. Yeah. I want to find out what works for that person. I say usually if I have to go back for the same thing to the same person, then I didn't really do my job.
So this is really intense. So like, what are your sessions? Because it's almost like you, that sounds like, because I know the idea of like feng shui is you go like, okay, so I walk in and like, what's my routine? And so where do I need to put things so that it's, so how much time are you spending with these people? Because you're not walking in and just being like, hey, throw this shit away. Like I would, my mom, when I was a kid, like she would be like, clean your room. And if I didn't clean my room, I'm like, okay, whatever, because I'm like a messy person. My coffee, my Nespresso pods, I brought a picture for you, are color coordinated. But my clothes are in piles on a dresser, question mark.
There's no dresser. There's no dresser there.
No. So, it's like a shelf that I found on the street.
And exactly. I like coat racks, actually.
Two of those.
Putting up hooks on the wall. If you put hooks up on the wall, I have one right when I walk in the door. So any of my jackets and stuff go straight on there because I'm not putting them in the closet right away. And then I also have one in my bedroom for things that like came out of the laundry and I'm not ready to put them in yet because I'm a little lazy. And so it's on the floor, but it's like on the hook. So it's on the wall in my bedroom space. One thing I always do is I put my keys on the back of the door on a hook. Because I have a metal door. So every time I'm looking for my keys when I'm going out, if it's not on there, it's like, oops, where'd they go? So there are little things that I do all the time, but I'm not like perfectly organized in my space. I like bins because you can throw things in the bins, but there's certain bins that are certain, like, you know, all my scarves are in one bin. But they're not like, you know, perfectly folded or anything like that.
Okay, see, good. We got...
There's layers.
So it's kind of accommodating for your type of sloppy.
Yeah, it's my sloppy. I was a mess. Like I threw stuff when like I was really young all over the floor. My mom was like, you know, clean up your room. But I just remember I really turned to organizing to mask or to like alleviate my stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, some people turn to so many other things when they are stressed and anxious. Yeah. I just like organizing. Drinking. Now, I don't like
booze,
cleaning.
Drugs.
Yeah, drinking. Like, you don't like cleaning.
I don't like cleaning. I'd rather have someone come and clean my apartment, but organizing is a whole different aspect.
Yeah, my mom would do a combination of this. She'd be like, clean your room. And I'd be like, okay. And then after like 3 days, if it wasn't clean and I was out screwing around, she would walk in and anything that was on the floor, clothes, whatever, she would just throw it. She'd put it in a trash bag and throw it away. And then...
Yeah.
That's intense.
Well, but what that taught me is I would come back in and like not even notice it. And I'm like, oh, so it's shit that I don't need. Like, so that from a really young age, exactly. I weirdly, even though I have like... But all of my belongings are in my one bedroom in Queens. Like I just get rid of shit because it's like I don't have, so I lost the like attachment to physical things.
Right.
Which is nice because I would freak out like, oh, I need this ring or like just something silly. Even it's like, oh, this is my good luck show ring. And it's like, well, but no, it's not. You know, you have all these little, well, I need this and I need that.
You don't need any of that.
No. All we need is ourselves, guys.
You don't need nothing, Wendy.
Well, yeah, we just need each other.
In New York
City. Well, also not that.
In New York City, most people live in an apartment building. So there's at least five other apartments or, you know, in my case, I probably have 300 people living in my apartment building. You have no clue what's going on next to you. There could be a fire. There could be anything. So you really want to know what you have and what's important and have it in the same space that if there's an emergency, you can grab that and go and not have to worry about everything else because there's going to be come a point where you're not able to deal with everything else.
Or if you're touring and doing that life, you want to have everything so that it's just ready to go so you can just run off to your flight after you woke up late and do whatever you need to do. I mean, when I was traveling all the time, that was certainly, I always kept a bag packed, just kind of ready to go.
You had a bug out bag?
No, it was just, I was traveling so much that it would just be like, okay, you have to go tomorrow to wherever, you know?
Well, that's Megan's been on vacation a bunch this summer. So are you like living out of a suitcase? Or when you come home, are you unpacking all your shit or are you taking the same kind of stuff everywhere?
Well, I mean, everything I've done is this summer has been like involved in a body of water. So really, I've just been bringing like shitty shirts and bathing suits with me.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, me and my boyfriend have gotten really good about packing for travel. Our last four trips this summer, we've just taken one suitcase.
That's awesome.
Just all our shit in one carry-on.
Oh, and a carry-on? That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christina and I always fuck up with the carry-on, usually because of podcasting, honestly, because we need to take the podcast.
Sorry.
Mic. I know.
Sorry, Steven. Sorry I made you lug all your shit to LA.
It's either podcast mics or a camera or something that needs to be checked.
We get it. We're ruining your life.
Although it is nice to actually not carry all the stuff in the airport. To check your stuff and go.
Yeah.
But then I have that moment of like, is it going to be there on the other side?
Yep.
Does that freak you out? No.
Every so often, yeah.
Oh, it scares me shitless. When I have to check my like camera.
Is it because you're giving your stuff to another person?
No, it's because I've traveled and then have my shit not show up until 2 days later. Mm. Like if I'm flying for a job and I'm checking cameras or microphones or something that I really need and then you get there and your stuff gets there 2 days.
That's why you just got to drive everywhere, man. Just get a bit. That's why you got the big old van.
That's why I got the big old van. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I took three bags. I took more stuff with me to the lake for 3 days than I've taken to go to LA for a week. Cause I was like, I don't have to get on a plane.
So we cleaned out the loft. And so Amy, when just going into more in depth about how we approached the loft specifically, when we cleaned it out, we organized it into, I mean, we filled our entire living room.
We had a human chain. Someone took something down from the loft to hand it off, and then it went into different zones in the living room.
And your methodology was to make us go through every single thing.
Oh, yeah. So there's micro and there's macro organizing. And macro is really like bigger picture. Like, where is it going to go? What kind of, is it a keeping thing? Is it a project to actually go into deeper delve, which is a micro? Micro is more like touching every single piece of paper. Yes, no, maybe do what I want to do with this. And so sometimes when you don't have a lot of time, you want to just do macro so you can actually get it done and quick and then make time. Usually I like to say maybe twice a week, like use a timer and like for an hour, go through the micro and then just get it done after a while.
And that really helped me because what I've been doing was I had all this shit that was just in boxes, like just old beat up boxes. Mm-hmm. And then I would just move it from apartment to apartment to apartment and be like, okay, this is this weird shit from Japan or this is this stuff. Like it was just bullshit. And she made me sit down and go through all of it.
There's no more avoiding.
Yeah.
No more moving boxes.
What you've been doing is just staring at your reflection through a giant Radiohead record display, crying, trying to find your former self.
Put a good playlist together.
You know, that one's really bad because when I do it alone, like I do get, I'll get sucked up. I'll be like, oh, this is that. You remember this?
Oh, really?
And I'll waste so much time.
That does not surprise me at all because you do it publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you don't need to be in the safety of your apartment alone.
Which is why I come in because a lot of people hire me just to sit with them while they go through their stuff because they don't know what to do with it. And that's why it's just been sitting there forever.
Yeah. And then Christina will fucking murder me because she has a totally different style than me.
I don't want to like take away from your business, but I do this like twice a year with girlfriends where I just have my girlfriends come over and we go through my closet and like I get rid of trash bags full of clothes and shit. But
no, I think it's perfect. I really it should be a group effect.
Right. Affair. I think, but there is, if you're there or like I call over Wendy to go through my closet, it's having someone else that's accountability. Like my friend Sarah is great because she basically like I'll pull out a shirt or a dress and she's like, when was the last? I've never seen that. I've known you for 4 years and I've never seen you wear that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know, but I really liked it in high school. And she's like, okay.
Well, then you have a memorabilia box, then you put that in there because you're not going to wear it.
Yeah.
She does what you do with me where she just tells me like, no, throw it. If you haven't worn it in 3 months, throw it away.
Yeah.
So I love donating. I think that there's so much resource and people who need to donate their stuff because we all know there's something in our closet right now, like one piece of article of clothing that's in our closet that we've touched and put it back in the closet because we didn't want to wear it that day. So one of the things I do talk about with my clients and especially with those with kids is that there's a donation box in the middle of like an area that's accessible for everyone. And for over a course of a week or two, you know, as you're going through your day in your apartment, things that you touch that you're like, why the heck do I have this? Or why is that there? You put it in the donation box so that you know it's going out, and you do it over time. You know, when you're in the morning and you pull out your clothes for work and you put on the shirt and you're like, I don't like that shirt. I don't even know how I have that shirt. Put it in the box and not put it back into your closet. And then over time, you actually, as a family affair, even, or, you know, whatever, whoever, friends, you just do it as you go.
That's a smart idea, the donation.
I like
box.
That. That's a good idea.
The whole van is full of the donation stuff right now.
Oh, really? What do you
pretty
donate?
Much what we
I, that's what I should do with my merch shirts. I'll just donate and then spread.
That's
and
a
then
great
spread
idea.
Spread the bad word.
Or give them away as gifts with a bow.
Nah, not. I'm not going to do that to people I like.
I mean, you could still. You're gonna do comedy tours. Like, you're still going to sell your merch shirts. You know,
no. I want to see little kids wearing them from the Goodwill.
Yeah, so do I. That's what I want. Like, why is that scary lady's face on this t-shirt, Mom? Why did you get this for me?
What are you donating?
Oh my gosh.
Gold records?
No, the vinyl, all the records and stuff. I had tons of vinyl and stuff that I was always like, I could eBay it for a couple bucks, but it was just like, just get rid of it. Like, just it's
so you're donating that.
No, a lot of that just got chucked. They won't even, I mean, a lot of it's CDs.
Yeah,
CDs were a big thing because we had tons of them from
tell us, Grandpa, tell us of CDs.
Yeah,
I had like 500 CDs when I left LA to New York, and I found a place that actually took back and bought CDs at the time, which doesn't exist anymore, and it was really cool.
You can't even, I don't even think you can donate CDs.
That's what I was going to say. Are those recyclable at all? Or is that just like more waste that we're just putting in the trash island in the middle of the city? Mm-hmm. Middle of the city? Well, that's
well, not. Yes, yeah, it's called Manhattan. It's a trash island.
Yeah, I don't know.
Both.
But it had to go.
Yeah, I mean, if those are recyclable, right? They're not?
I don't think CDs are.
Well, the case, the case has to be, the CD case.
And the paper, you know, that will go to paper. It depends on how much coating the actual paper had.
And then the rest of our CDs we're going to use to make those weird beaded curtains.
Yes. I would love to do.
Yeah.
I'll
be like going into Tower Records.
If you're a recycling expert, we would love to talk to you. Gemmerspod@gmail.com.
Yeah. What do we do with all these CDs?
What do we do with all those CDs?
Someone's going to be like, just give them to me. I have this old Discman.
I do too.
We can cut the sides and use them as like Death Stars for when the apocalypse happens.
I mean, that's,
ooh, that's actually smart.
If, yep. if
have
was,
you ever broke a CD in half?
Sharp.
They
hurt.
They are sharp.
Yeah.
You could easily slice somebody's neck. Easily.
There
I thought
has
about
to
it
be
a lot
like
of times.
An Etsy business of used CDs that's just
that are
ready.
Making weapons, murder weapons.
I mean,
there's got to be an Etsy business already making like throat cutters, you know.
This is my katana made from 7 different Backstreet Boys CDs.
I have a Backstreet Boys cassette.
It's like the Bryan Adams single, cuts like a knife, cuts like a CD, motherfucker.
Wow.
We had 8 tracks in my house for a long time.
That's a blunt object. Okay. All right, good. So we can use that. That's what we gotta do. We just recycle all of our old shitty music things into weapons.
That's the problem with MP3s. You can't kill someone.
Right. That's why they don't feel real.
With an iPhone.
Music's so intangible now because you can't murder each other.
Tangible music when I can murder someone. Exactly.
Right.
Like a record. I could totally kill someone with
you
a record.
Kill someone with a record.
That's why I love I love a live show. Get the instruments. You could impale someone, rape them with a drumstick, beat them with the guitar. Do you know? All of that. And if
you could also switch that. You could rape them with the guitar, beat them with the drumstick. That's what live music is so good, because the instruments are so versatile.
That sounds like a ska album to me.
An album and it's just screaming sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, those pretty much my teen years.
Yeah, just off key. Like it's everything's out of tune. It's just like this. Like, that's interesting what they're doing. Oh no, they're jamming that inside of someone's asshole. And that's how they're getting that reverb. Mm-hmm. That sweet reverb. Okay.
Speaking of small spaces.
Oh.
Real nice transition, Steven.
He's obviously not talking about me or Megan on that.
Nope.
Boom.
Nope.
comedy Dames better watch your back.
Okay, so your van is full of garbage, correct?
So my van is full of donations.
Oh,
garbage.
No, we had a lot of
more garbage.
Yeah, we got rid of the garbage. The garbage is gone.
How much stuff? Like, how many bags of stuff did you throw away?
There was a lot.
So we used the big black garbage bags. So I want to say there may be like 6 to 8 of them.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
That was a lot.
And then the recycling, because, you know, everything's in boxes. So we broke down all the boxes and everything like that.
Yeah, you were really good about making sure everything went to the right place. I think otherwise I would have just gotten fed up and just thrown everything away.
So now how did you, okay, so with the macro, so like what were the different categories as far as the macro organization? Because I think this is interesting for people, because I know I try to do this and I start and I get like halfway. I think I do the macro part and then I don't go in and like touch everything. You know, yeah. I threw like 2 bags of stuff away the other day, but then the clothes I have to do, but I did like, and it was felt really good, but then I kind of just like had less shit, but I just stacked like a different stack of papers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. They weren't categorized.
So what were the categories that you do with macro? Like, what are the specific categories?
So specifically for here or in general?
Oh, let's do Stevens, right? That's an easy. What did you do for Stevens?
So we had a lot of gear. So all the gear, like the sound together with the deaf separate from the video, separate from the photo, right? So all the different things, the hard drives were different. So categorizing everything in his gear and what is being used level one and what is being used level two, like not as often. So it doesn't have to be in a more prime real estate space, you know, like the grab and go.
So level one is like, I use this shit every day. I use this.
So level one are like the immediate hard drives that I'm working on that I would keep downstairs. And then level two are like projects that are maybe 2-3 years old. The clients might need me to dig up, but they don't need to be in my face.
Right. It's not like it's something you're working on currently. Okay, so
but then making sure that all of that's labeled. Bins organized, it's ready that I can see it.
I mean, it literally, if you take more time to set it up when you're looking for something, especially in a pinch, because most of the time when you're looking for something, it's a pinch, you can find it and then you can grab it, you can go and it's done. So doing more work in the beginning. And also just label, like even if it's nothing.
And that is something that would help me moving forward, because I have had people that were like, hey, can you find this thing from years and years and years ago? And it just takes, it'll take half a day just to dig something up.
And it'll probably get you annoyed and you probably avoid it. And then you're like, should I have to go find it?
Right.
And now labeling. Do you like a label maker baby? Do you like tape and Sharpie?
So
we just did matte, like I always keep white gaff tape around just as like a tour music guy. And then like Sharpie.
What about the non-cool motherfuckers don't have gaff tape?
Well, if you're less of a badass.
I like label makers. I love label makers. I bring mine pretty much everywhere where I go.
Yeah.
I also like post-it notes. They are very good at writing on as temporary labels. I think that sometimes you just need to do a temporary label to know where it is to then figure out where it's going to go later.
Yeah, Amy would post-it everything in the living room as we were working just to temporarily keep track of everything.
Yeah, so we had a category of all artwork. There's a lot of frames and photos, and they were all over the loft. So
we still haven't figured out where we're going to put them in the living room.
Or where. And then there was also a space of, you know, memorabilia. They each had, you know, a box of memories, things that they wanted to keep, but you didn't really need to have right away. Suitcases. There was a bunch of suitcases.
Well, and now with like, well, the thing too, with now we don't need all this shit because, technology is going to, well, that's the thing is like technology is going to burn and die. But like with our phones and our computers, like we have pictures of shit, do you know?
And we don't really use most of the pictures that we have. Every once in a while we do. I mean, the crazy thing from, you know, having it as like tangible photo that you can look at in your hand, as opposed to what's on digital, is you have to really, really, really label your digital photos because you can sit there for hours and not find a photo that you want.
Well, and a lot of it just gets lost. I mean, a lot of my digital photos, it's so hard to keep a back catalog of. I mean, with my old digital photography from music days, I keep on drives that I'm transferring every 3 years just to keep that up to date and keep my portfolio intact. you know?
Right, but a lot of stuff for you, like, that's for work stuff. But
that's my business.
Right, yeah. But that's your job. So that makes more sense. But, like, for regular people that, like, we're not doing that and we just have a bunch of shit hanging around.
Exactly. So,
like, now, when you go in and talk to people, are you doing, do you find that you're doing, you said the therapy part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are, because I don't know, like, I've read these books where it's like, my dad's wife is, and I mean this to the, is a hoarder. I mean, it's a crazy, like, there's a room where, like, you can't walk in and, like, to throw stuff away. And part of that thing was, her parents and I get it. And everyone's got their own journey. But I'm this way with myself. If something's ruining your life, it's like, then fucking knock it off. Then fucking try something else. Right. And his wife keeps all this shit, like, massive amounts, and will cry. She has, like, newspapers from the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a hoarder. I can say that. She has newspapers from the 80s and we'd be like, we should throw this away. And she'll start crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something psychological going on there. And she just has to have a conversation about what it is. But she needs someone who's a specialist who can understand that.
Yeah.
And she has to seek them out. Because if you bring in someone who is there to help and that person isn't ready, they'll kill everyone off. And they won't address it.
So me, because what I was going to do for my dad's birthday this year was go light all her shit on fire. Is that a bad idea?
I'm going to go yes. No, yeah. I'm going to go. No, I think do it. We'll professionally disagree. I think you should for sure go light all her shit on fire.
I think it'll be good. I mean, it's newspaper.
No, I just said not inside. Just take it all outside so it's not in the house.
Thank you. See, all right.
I just said it not in the house.
And, like, she has, like, 29 pairs of black pumps. It's the same. And I get it, but it is this weird, it's a strange thing. Like there's this weird thing, like, culturally where people are so freaked out to, like, let go or lose. And we're just so attached to shit that we can't get rid of, you know?
Do you guys have anything in your life that you're hoarding right now? Like, when you think about this and you think about, you know, your pile of shit that's wherever, do you have anything that you're like, I should have gotten rid of that years ago that you're hanging on to?
I don't know. Megan, do you have anything?
I mean, I have more shit than I need for, like, I have so many cookie cutters and, like, baking stuff.
But you use that. I mean, and obviously the Miss Piggy doll that behind you, you need.
Okay. First of
what
all,
is that?
This is not a Miss Piggy doll. This is when I just helped my mom go through everything.
What is that?
My mom is like a hoarder because she, like, legit, like, paintings I did in first grade, she has. Like, she kept everything I ever touched as a kid. And I'm glad she kept this. This is my Miss Piggy paper doll.
Oh, my God, Megan. That's so cute.
Oh, my God. I will pull it out later. It is so fucking cute. So, yeah. How many times will I break this out in my life? I don't know. Will I ever get rid of it? No. And also, it is right here. It's not like I look at it every day and I go, thank God.
It's one of my favorite things to look at when we do the podcast because it's in the background. It's so fucking cute. That'd be cute in a frame.
Well, Amy, what do you think is a healthy line for stuff like that? When you're like, yeah, this is stuff
for
you should
Miss
keep.
Piggy
or
paper
oh, you
doll
should.
Sets?
Yeah.
No. But we all have that. Christine and I mm-hmm. both had, like, emotional attachment sections where it was like, this is shit that, like, I can't get rid of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. important to me for whatever reason. It's, you know, I have every backstage pass that I've ever had from every tour. You know, I have just a handful of things. I had dumb video. I still have a lot of dumb music video props, but there were a couple music video props up there that I was like, this is stupid. Like, I had a fucking robot from a Sum 41 video that's like 10 years old there's no reason to keep it. It was dumb.
Well, is it a working robot? Like, can it do stuff
for
you?
Yeah, it was.
Amy's like, oh, no, I forgot that I threw it away. It was a working robot?
Yeah, it was a little working robot.
Well, I didn't know that. Yeah. I might have not let you actually throw
that. That's cool.
It was a robot, like a butler robot? Or, like, what type of robot are you talking about? Like a jerk-off robot?
It was
a
robot
with
a little remote control from a Sum 41 video.
Okay, and what did it do? Walk around?
It walked around, and you could drive it with a little remote
control. You can't look. And I know
could you bring you a drink? What could it
no.
do?
No, it would have fallen over.
What if you bounce it? What if you took one of your gold records that you threw away and welded that to the top of the robot's head?
This is how hoarding happens. I'm going to take this garbage and I'm going to make it
functional
garbage.
We are crafting right now.
No, you're making a downtown bar.
Wrong.
Like, you're just putting crap everywhere.
And guess what? Downtown bars are fun. Let's go back. Rewind. Everybody pause this. Go back to the Reynaldo episodes.
We are repurposing.
Okay?
I was just going to say that.
Right? You have a robot. And then you get one of your gold records. Cool. And if you had a Sum 41 record, cool. Now we have a theme, right? So you weld that to his head. You put a little thing. You can put drinks on there. And now you have a little robot butler walking drinks to people at a party. That's not hoarding. That's being cool.
But now, if I'm understanding this, Amy's thinking was, and correct me if I'm interpreting this wrong, but I need to get rid of that robot so that I can make room for future robots in my life.
So well, maybe that was a now, choice. Like, now, it was a like, choice. Like, what do you want to do?
Right.
Ha, see, now it's turning around back on you. Smart. I like it. I like these
headgames. I don't make decisions. It's in my contract, actually. My agreement. Like, I don't make the final decisions. You do. So you have to be either, you check with your financial planner, you check with your tax accountant or whatever it is, like your CPA. Oh, so there's certain things that, like, whatever it is, you're the one who ultimately makes the decision. And I ask you what it is and why do you need it? And if it's something that you still want. And then they answer
I was going to be like, oh, I can probably swing a session. But you're saying things like financial planner and tax advisor.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't have a closet.
Things for Amy get much more complicated than my Sum 41 robot.
I'm just saying that there are certain things that I can't make decisions on because I am not an expert. So if that's the case, we just have to, you know, talk to someone else who is knowledgeable in that area before you decide what
And especially with a small business, it's like you wind up with this shit like film negatives. And it's like...
Yeah, okay,
we didn't throw any of those out. Don't worry.
You stop going back from the real issue, which is we could have had a little robot. Yeah,
thank you, Wendy. I was like, everyone's losing sight of the important thing here. We could have right now be like, butler, I want... whiskey,
but isn't it more important to move forward towards the future? So maybe we could have a Jammers episode where we build a robot.
What's more futuristic than building your own robot to bring you drinks?
But that was an old crappy robot. We could build a new robot, and that would be the
robot
that we need.
Go build one right now.
Go build a robot. You had
go build a robot, Mr. Confident Robot Builder.
I mean, it was a toy robot.
How do you think? Okay, Dr. Frankenstein. You take two old, kind of weird, shitty things and then you make something cool out of it.
Like weird science.
Thank you.
So essentially, Frankenstein was a hoarder.
No.
Frankenstein was a hoarding
God
project.
God damn it, Steven.
No, he was just creative.
No, he was being creative. It's first of all, hoarder is a bad word unless Megan or I say it.
Yeah, only if we say it.
Because
we're taking it back.
Her mom is a hoarder, and we're spelling hoarder with a W. So fucking get on board, okay? If anyone who's mad, that's how we're spelling hoarder, okay?
Yeah, my mom's a hoarder.
Yeah, my stepmom's a hoarder. That's going to be our TLC show.
My stepmom's a hoarder.
Okay? So you got rid of a working robot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I know. Yeah, you get rid of other shit, but that's, anyway, way to draw the ball.
Do you want to go through the van, Wendy? We could take a trip.
No, I don't want to go through the van.
All right.
Because where's the robot? Is it even in there?
No, the robot's in the trash. The robot's gone.
You didn't even give it away?
Thank you. You didn't, why didn't you, you didn't donate a working robot?
Nope.
You could have taken
The starring robot from a Sum 41 video.
Oh,
stop saying that. Nobody gives a shit about Sum 41. That doesn't matter. What we care about is a working robot.
True. Someone cares.
Yeah, you could have given that to charity. You could have given it, you know, they do the Secret Santa for the poor people. And I'm like not even being funny, being serious. I want you to feel bad. You could have donated that to some kid.
No kid would have wanted this robot.
Some kid whose parents are drug addicts, they don't have money.
No.
Some homeless kid whose parents are whacked out, they can't afford Christmas presents, and the robot brings him cereal on a tray.
And also his parents' drugs.
I hope that kid gets a fresh new robot or maybe something new, like a new drone, like an actual toy that's relevant to that kid's situation.
Stop trying to justify your waste, Steven.
My robot genocide.
How do you feel about throwing away a working robot? Amy too. Amy got a little upset. You could tell. She was like, wait, it was working?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
No.
I didn't think it was working.
See?
Ha ha! Fuck you, Steven.
It was working. But it needed to go in the trash. I needed to throw out that
robot. It's a part of the past that you just had to put in the past and move on. Yeah. Whatever's new.
And that was
I still think it should have been donated.
that was the psychology side of what Amy did, where I'm like, she's like, I know music and I know you and you need to throw this shit out. And even though she didn't say that explicitly, I was like, you are right. And then I threw everything out.
Yeah, I'm a good ventriloquist.
Oh, I know. It's, I love it. Well, that you're, that's, and not to be like hacky, but you really are, like, you're doing what most women do in relationships, which is very passive aggressively be like, no, if you want, it's not my,
no,
but there's this weird thing where we can go then the back way and it's like, you better get rid of this motherfucker. You better cook, motherfucker. You better clean this.
Well, but I think Amy's a relationship saver because she saves you from having that fight. Or that, just that, that stress of like doing something like that with the person you love. Like have you ever fought with Preston about keeping shit or when you do your cleaning thing?
No, never.
Oh, right. I forgot.
We got in a fight because he had a big picture over the bed. And
what
that was
picture?
Just living. Oh, it's a Dr. Strangelove poster. It's a great picture. It was the fact that it was over the bed. That's the only fight we've ever gotten to about. Because I'm from LA. I'm like, you don't hang heavy objects above your head.
No, you don't.
Oh.
Like, that's not what you do.
So you're like, your relationship saver. So you're like a non-sexual, like good threesome. That sounds like a good, you know what I'm saying? That's like an emotional threesome.
So a crappy threesome, a non-sexual threesome would be right. A crappy threesome.
You're like a surrogate. That's kind of great. If people are fighting, especially for couples and even for another person, you're like a surrogate. Like you can come in and be like, look, I'm going to be the bad guy here. And not that you're a bad guy, but you kind of take right, you know, that's
well,
beautiful.
I ask the questions. So then they decide who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. Or good girl, bad girl, whatever.
Ew.
I just ask the questions and then they answer how they answer.
So what kind of a question? So, okay, I'm going to, now when you do the touch thing, because so this is something I was talking with my dad about his wife and all their shit. He's like, yeah, we've been cleaning stuff out. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. I'm going to light all your shit on fire when I come out there to help celebrate the birth of my new niece and or nephew. I don't know what it's going to be, what's coming out yet. But like, do you do the thing? Because I know there's this stuff, like some organization philosophy where they're like, every object, you look at it and you hold it and you're like, does this bring you joy?
Yeah.
So I've actually been doing that before her book came out. So I kind of was behind the eight ball on that one. But it's really...
We got beef.
Shots fired.
Got beef. We got beef and we know exactly where to find it because it's labeled and on a shelf. We can get to it.
And not thrown out by someone else. I will say that I don't live in your space, so I don't really care if you keep things or don't keep things, but I want to know what does it mean to you and why do you have it? And if it means something to you, why you have it, maybe the other person you live with doesn't know that. So it actually has more conversation pieces of why you're actually holding things on or why you, or it's time to give up or what's and why you're holding it. So it's really like getting into the stake of what does it actually mean. And if it's something that you really love, then why isn't it out in your apartment? Why is it in like a, behind a closed door in a box or something like that?
Yeah.
Like have it out if you love it. Like be in the space of creating the space together of what it is that you love. Not one person's stuff taking over in the apartment and one person's not. And have that kind of like creativity together. So that's one of the reasons why I ask a lot of questions of why you want to keep something because I want to know then where is it going to go? If you hate it, but you keep it, what's that purpose? Why? And there's no, like I said, there's no right or wrong or morality. I'm not judging you because I don't have to live there.
Well, there is a wrong. I mean, if you throw away a working robot, that is a wrong.
Yeah. That is a wrong. Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I think we're
all four of us in agreement about that.
Yeah.
It's an exception to a rule.
Yeah. So that was a wrong.
I'm about to replace that robot with new life experiences.
Oh, you will
oh,
not.
Fuck off. Yeah. You super won't.
What are you going to do? Okay. What are you going to do in place of the, cause, and we're like, we're all kind of on the same tip of like, cause my mom's really good. My mom who would just throw my shit away. But I take this for my mom where like, she would go shopping and she'll buy. And she was like, okay, she would buy like a couple shirts. Right. So she'd buy like two shirts. She would come back and I would watch her go, okay, I bought two new shirts. So now I'm going to donate five things and take it to the Goodwill.
Right.
So what you're talking about, my mom did that. And I do that now. If I'm like, oh, I want to go get a new, like, oh, I want to get some new summer dresses. I'm like, okay, well, before you go,
see what you have and what you need.
Right. Yeah. I would pull them out, try them on. And I'm like, okay. And then I do keep there a couple where I'm like, well, these 7 pounds are going to be gone. I believe.
Yeah, that,
give me
exactly.
A week. But I have like a couple things that I keep just to see like how much I weigh without using a scale. Like I keep a couple marker clothes.
Yeah.
But the rest you just get rid of it. And, right. And you just have to throw away. And that's a good, that's, I like the message of like living in the now and not, cause yeah, if you're hanging on to shit, like literally and figuratively, if you're physically holding on to something, you cannot, you literally cannot grab something new.
Right. And you also don't have the space for it to come in.
Right.
So when you were asking the question about like, how does it work?
Yeah.
Like, do you touch everything? So actually with closets, like you take everything out of the closet, you empty the closet out, and then you actually go and organize and see what's there. And then you put back the stuff that's staying. With the loft, we took everything out of the loft, figured out what was there, then put back what was staying. There was a bag of stuff. I don't even remember what it was. It might've just been cables or something. And I literally dumped
that
it out.
That you could
in front
have
of-
used to make a more high powered robot.
He still has it. It's okay. So we literally, I dumped the bag out in front of him, and he then touched each
cried
cable.
Oh.
He did actually.
I did cry a little bit.
Just his eyeballs.
Just with gear, I get really overwhelmed by how much bullshit. Because there's new stuff every year, and how to keep so many harder. I know. I can see your eyes glazing over. Okay. But it's fucking ridiculous how many cables and shit like that I need to keep track
of. Steven, you're the best. You're just this enigma because you're like void of emotion and you're like, whatever, life's meaningless. We're all going to die anyway. But then you admit, no, I look at all my gear and I just well up with emotion.
Also cables, not even like cool gear, just cables.
I literally dumped it out in front of him, and I think the shock and awe, can we use that phrase again?
It was like how many cables
of like his eyeballs of what. What I just, first of all, that fuck. I just did that. And second, that he actually had to touch them all and decide if he wanted to keep them.
I would pay money to watch you cry while you just creepily touch
cables.
Instead of just
decide
going
which ones
like,
I need to keep.
I want to take this whole bag. I'm keeping this whole bag. No, you're not keeping the whole bag.
Because that's what I was doing. I would go from apartment to apartment and be like, well, I need these old cables in case I need to use these old drives. And she forced me to dump all of them out and be like, this is a ridiculous amount of cables to fucking keep for any reason.
And a new container, like actually decide what is audio, what is visual.
And then come up with a
camera.
New container system and then organize and label everything.
What kind of tubs? Do you have clear tubs? Let's talk.
Well,
Let's talk tubs.
Amy said.
Talking tubs with your two favorite hoarders.
Now that would be a
clear,
good podcast.
We did clear tubs wherever we could so that you can see what's in them.
But we have not done his office yet with all of his cables. So
yeah,
that's
the
TBD.
Another
sesh.
You got to do the downstairs.
The downstairs isn't a big to do. We're shifting around the whole downstairs. I mean, we just need to make it kind of presentable.
Right.
You guys know you're down there.
Oh, it's a real nightmare.
You know.
It's super clean. It's nice.
It's fine. It's I was just going to say it's fine. It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's a basement. We got to make it more fun.
What are you gonna do? Put like a chandelier?
Oh, I don't know.
That's cool.
A chandelier.
Wait, did you just say I don't know to Wendy asking if you're gonna put a chandelier in it?
Yeah, I might want to.
Like you'd
put a
already
chandelier
thought
in.
About that?
I've considered chandeliers.
I think it's a great move.
That would make me feel like a fancy person in my little basement.
Like a fancy man.
Or a Murphy's bed. Half
yes,
the time,
Murphy bed. Murphy bed.
Oh, I'm
Murphy
so anti-Murphy bed. Christina tried to show me
one
pictures.
My entire life. My entire
life. Are
you
fucking kidding?
I
do. Oh my God. The idea of trying to bang someone on a Murphy bed gives me.
You have to try it first before you actually decide you don't like it.
I'm sorry. We looked at them and the stores that Murphy beds were available from. I was like, no, fuck.
That's where you draw the line. This. Look, I'll fuck you in your childhood trundle bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right next to your parents. But I got standards. I'm not banging you on a Murphy bed.
No, I'm an adult. I think part of it was because.
Wait. No, yeah, exactly.
No, but I don't want the home bed that I'm fucking in to be a Murphy bed.
It doesn't have to be your home bed, but it can be like a fun
bed. Have you ever fucked someone and come home to their Murphy bed and been like, this was a great idea?
Yeah, I would have married that person. By the way, if that
why?
Happened. Preston what? Who is what I would say, because I would have walked into some dude's apartment and you would have had a Murphy. I just think they're cool. Ever since I was a kid, I've wanted to fuck in a Murphy bed, Steven.
I
don't understand.
Bunk bed was cool until I fucking.
Bunk beds are not cool as much as a Murphy bed.
I had one New York apartment that was so small, I had to have a loft bed. And after that, I was like, no untraditional bed ever again. If I can't afford a fucking bedroom with a bed on the floor, I need to make more money.
Can we? Can we on the floor?
I just want to talk about the fact that Steven is more passionate about this Murphy bed fiasco than I've ever heard him be about anything. Listen to his voice. There's fucking real emotion there.
I've been fighting with Christina about this for since our first session with Amy.
You guys started talking about Murphy beds on your first session?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, she was like, maybe you guys want to consider a Murphy bed. And I was immediately like, fuck no, that's where I draw the line.
Punched her in the face and ran out of the apartment.
I've been standing behind that decision ever since. Fuck Murphy beds.
Now we know. Now it's just on principle.
Now we know where that bruise came from on your leg. That's every time you... Oh yeah, she fell. Now we know.
My Murphy, violent tendencies.
It doesn't have to be your main bed. What if the Murphy... It could just be like a fun bed.
We're sitting on the pullout couch that is the fun bed. We already have one fun bed. The other bed needs to be our main bed.
Y'all fuck on this couch?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You fuck on the shitty pullout couch. Like, it's fun.
No. It's a very nice pullout couch. It's a king size couch. This couch is actually a bigger bed than our bed.
But you do fuck on it, right?
Pleading the fifth.
That's a yes.
You're sitting in Steven's comfort.
People
right
have
now.
Fucked on this couch. I'm sure the friends have fucked on this couch. People have fucked on this couch for.
Well, yeah, it's
Clorox.
Sorry. I mean you call it the pullout couch. So I mean,
yeah,
they're gonna
it's
have
a pullout
to.
Couch. We live in the city. It's small. We gotta fuck everywhere.
We got, wait, what? Wait, what? God damn it, Steven. That made no sense. We live in a city, it's small,
everywhere
so we have
this
to
town,
fuck
someone
everywhere.
Has fucked there.
It's an organized fucked fest in the apartment.
I know, but that, you, every, exactly. Yeah, you live in the city, so get a Murphy bed. You use the city thing. Really, in weird places.
Everything, yeah. No, he uses it for, like, everything. His excuse is, we live in New York.
I can't.
Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, I live in New York. I can't possibly get vegetables. Oh yeah, I can't walk a block outside of your apartment without walking by some kind of a produce stand. Yeah. That you have to get food ordered because it's the city.
I mean, they bring it right to you here.
Oh my God, we're not getting back to this.
I don't have time to go shopping because I'm too busy fucking literally everywhere.
Yeah,
it's so tiny. Wait,
because it's New York. I mean, you got to. Yeah, that's the problem out in LA because of the sprawl in LA. Just people don't fuck literally everywhere. It's the, you know, it's a problem.
They just do it in boring beds.
That's the major difference between New York and LA.
Oh, they go to the valley to fuck.
They go to the Van Nuys.
Everyone goes to the valley to fuck.
I'm excited about cleaning out my I'm cleaning out my closet this week because I want to get a fucking new dress for that wedding. So
do you guys feel?
I
mean, do you guys feel like we have selfishly helped this week? Do you feel ready to organize?
Oh, no, what other tips do you have? Because I know you're helping Steven. So Megan and I are going to do this on our own, and we kind of, but like, so we're just going to ask ourselves, like, hey, why the fuck do you have this? What does it mean to you? If you like it so much, put it out, asshole. This is how I self talk.
Please take pictures of this stuff.
Mm. Yeah. So it's like, what is this? Why do you have it? If you like it, why is it under your bed? Right?
Well, should be under your bed, but that's a whole other conversation.
Wait, why should nothing be under
wrong.
Your bed?
No, wrong. That's where I don't have a closet, and that's where I keep my clothes. And my I have those little zip things.
Do you have drawers?
They're like the zip drawers from IKEA, so they're storage things. And I keep my linens under the bed. So
linens can go under the bed.
I put those and then my socks under. I use it as like a pullout drawer because I do not have a closet.
What about numerous beach chairs? I have numerous beach chairs under my bed.
Really?
Beach chairs.
What do you mean, really? Yeah, of course.
Some LA shit.
Anything that has a past does not go underneath your bed. It actually affects your sleep.
I'm sorry. Anything that has a past?
Wait.
Yeah. So no
shoes.
Well,
who knows what those
no
Tommy Bahama chairs at Costco went through before I brought them home. So
I know.
I guess I should
move them out. Does like having a breakup box under your bed like just transfer into your being when you sleep?
Yeah.
My cat sometimes goes under my bed and sleep, and I adopted him when he was 4, so he's for sure got a past.
Kill him. Kill him. You got to kill him now. Yeah.
But it's not an object. That's fine. It's a cat.
Yeah. You're right. He throws himself into my sock and underwear drawer, and so I have to kick him out. Yeah, but I keep underwear in my. Is that
you
okay?
Wash them, right?
I mean,
my underwear's got a pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Dev, if anyone's underwear has a pass, it is for sure Wendy's.
So what? Hold on. Wait. Okay. And I know I'm like looking at the time, and I shouldn't be looking at the time, but I'm looking where like in an hour. But hold on, this thing of like stuff with a pass can't be under your bed. Okay.
Oh, it's bullshit. I'm leaving my beach chairs under my bed.
Your bad juju beach chairs?
I mean, yeah, sure. They have bad juju. Okay.
Did you fuck on them?
That's a good memory.
No.
See, that's why we kept the couch.
Define fuck. I haven't fucked on them, but I probably like got a boob felt up.
But we can keep that shit under our beds, Maria.
Like, I don't have the answer to that. For beach chairs, I really don't know. I've never had beach chairs underneath that someone's like, bed before.
I highly
recommend getting numerous beach chairs.
Cut to Megan, my father was killed by a gang of beach chairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Just beach chairs smoking cigarettes with giant sunglasses.
So do you feel prepared to organize? What else would you...
Well, what areas are you organizing? Or are you focusing on first?
Are you doing clothes, Megan?
I'm doing clothes. I'm going to go through all of my clothes because it's been almost a year since every time I do it, it's a shit ton of clothes I end up taking to Goodwill.
So my first advice for clothes is just take everything out of your closet and out of the drawers and put and do one at a time and just take everything out first. And then put in yes, no, maybe. Or try on or something like that and have like different categories.
Fashion show on Skype.
Yeah.
And then literally like
do that.
They're actually, you know, those hampers, those like easy hampers that you can get like at the dollar store. You can have them as your categories and you can put in like, you know, yes, the ones that you say, yes, you're going to totally keep, you go straight back into the closet and you can reorganize it after. Things that are definitely no's, are they trash because there's a hole in them or they're stained and no one's going to take them, then they go straight into the trash bag. And then those that you're going to donate, they go straight into the box where donate. And you don't have to make everything perfect. You can just do the macro part first of like, you know, where it needs to go. And then the try on pile and put a whole pile of try on so you can try them all together after you're done. So you don't have to like, you know, stop and start. And that would be the best advice for everything in the closet. And if you're going to do the closets for clothes, go do all the closets for clothes where you have clothes, because sometimes they're not always in the one place in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then with your dressers, actually take everything out of your dressers, put them all on your bed, and then do the same thing as well. And then you fold it back into the space where your drawers are. And maybe change up your drawers where they are, have them different.
Well, and that was, I noticed that one of the things that you did with us was, it seemed like you really encouraged us to change up the way we'd been organizing things, even if it was just small tweaks.
Like how?
Well, like for example, in the loft, like the side where I always kept my stuff, kept my stuff since the beginning of, since we've lived here, you were just like, go to the other side.
Yeah, it was more like, because you're doing these automatically, right? And now mm-hmm. like we're doing it with more intention and also more flow. So like all of the actual gears that need to be together is together instead of it just showing like whatever came in that day.
Right. Okay.
I'm excited. We got a fashion show.
I think we're ready. I'm just excited that you and me are just going to be Skyping doing a real shitty fashion show.
Oh my God.
Can you please record that?
Yeah, we will record it.
Okay.
This will be fun to have on Instagram. Oh, this is going to be the most
fun. It won't be fun for anybody but you and me. I'm just going to call
There's
it right
always
now.
Time for movie montage.
I know. Oh, no. Oh, we'll be sending you a bunch of weird footage to edit.
Okay.
And jerk off to.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, cool. Well, Amy, thank you so much. Where can people find you and contact you if they need help from you? They want to hire you.
Sure. AmyNeiman.com. AmyNeiman.com. The website has my phone number and all the social media links that I'm on.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And seriously, I can't thank you enough for helping us organize and preventing me from getting murdered by my girlfriend.
Oh, I you're welcome. For now. That's not like a long-term fix.
I thought you were going to say getting murdered.
Your life is still in danger.
By a robot that I recreated. We'll go dig up that robot.
Yeah, could you go do that right
I
now?
I always
and
knew that
know?
Some 41 robot would be my death.
I'm texting Reynaldo right now, and we are going to go dig her. We're going to find that fucking robot in the trash, and we'll bring it back on the next episode. Amy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.